Is there like a spinner giveaway today or something?
Spinner giveaway. Ow.
Okay.
Do we have copies of what Mr. Goodell was working on available?
I didn't prepare any.
Do we have copies of that available?
This, you don't have the files.
Which?
Yes.
Is the rulemaking?
Yeah.
I have some.
All right. We should have copies available for those that maybe want to copy when we talk about it. Yeah, just make some copies, please.
Are we on now?
Yes.
We're on now. Okay. Going to call the meeting to order, the New York State Racing and Wagering Board meeting of April 30th, 2012 at Schenectady, New York. I'm joined, as always, by my colleagues Daniel D. Hogan and Charles J. Diamond. Before we start the public comment period of the meeting and call the agenda, I have a couple of announcements. One of which, obviously, there was a report put out that appeared in the newspaper today. We won't be commenting on, but we do acknowledge that it's there. We are going to be doing some emergency rulemaking today, which you'll hear about on the agenda. But we are also announcing a lid lifter, if you will, an opening for comment on race day medication. We are going to ask the industry to and the public to comment on people's thoughts on race day medication. As you all know, you'd have to be not paying attention to know that people are talking about it. Kentucky recently had a vote on it, which was a stalemate. It's obviously a contentious issue, but it's also one of great concern. There are people that really don't feel that a needle should be stuck in the neck of every racehorse just before the race. There is a congressional hearing going on today that's where it's being discussed as well. And with all the reports that we've seen, even here in New York, of catastrophic breakdowns, the industry needs to have a fresh look at this issue. New York was the last jurisdiction to allow Lasix, and I think it's appropriate, and the board members I know think it's appropriate that it's time to relook at that policy to see if it's in the best interest of the horse, the person on the back of the horse, the person investing in the race, the better. It's a contentious issue, and I'm sure we'll have lots of contentious comments, but it's time to start the discussion here in New York, and we will make copies of the request for your comments available to you. This doesn't mean we're going to change the rule. Doesn't mean we're going to ban Lasix. It means we want people's opinion. We want scientific opinion. We want casual opinion. We want to do what people, we want to hear what people's opinion is on this. And the board will take appropriate action moving forward. But it's time. It's time. So I want to thank my colleagues on the board for their support in this. As I said, we want people's honest opinion on this matter, and scientific opinion as well. So with that, I will ask for public comment at this time. Anyone who wants to address the board, now is the time. I called the meeting order, but she hasn't read the agenda yet. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I've been here before, but for those who don't know me, my name is Brent Carter, spelled B-R-E-N-T-C-A-R-T-E-R, and my claim to fame would be that I'm the winningest harness percentage driver in the history of New York. That would be my claim to fame. But my claim to infamy would be I've had much more notoriety as the mastermind race fixer here in the state of New York and among the regulators around the country from reports that have been sent from New York. So I have a side I'm proud of and a side I'm not so proud of. Very quickly, I was unprepared for your discussion of medication, so I'll go to that before I go to my other thought. Having been a horse trainer and seen horses and seen the problems medication causes, I, as a horse trainer who has never put a needle in a horse myself, I am opposed to any kind of medications. Stuff you can't buy in a store shouldn't go in a horse. That's my opinion. I've seen so many horses. I've seen horses claim from people that are on some sort of medication, maybe some kind of addictive medication. They claim the horse. Horse stands in the back of the stall like this for days. What was he on? We don't know. What should a horse have from race to race? Lasix, Butte. My preference as a trainer of horses for many years would be to have horses race on zero. Another reason for that is if you have a horse with 8 race of horses in it or 10 horses, everybody spends $30, $40, $80, $100 per race for the medications. It all works out the same except the vets make $800 a race. That's my opinion on that. You have my name and phone number if you want further opinion on the merits or non-merits of medications pre-race. And when you say pre-race, I presume you mean 3, 4, 5 days out, not just necessarily 2 hours before. What I came to comment on was a board press release from last month. New York State Racing and Wagering Board 5-year suspension, harness driver Carmine Fusco. And then later it says 5-year license ban, so there's a question if those are exactly the same thing, but not for this issue. One paragraph, Mr. Fusco has no legitimate business in New York's horse racing industry. Racing and Wagering Board Chairman John Sabini said, Mr. Fusco's actions amounted to cheating against his competitors, the betting public, and most notably endangering the horse's own welfare. The New York State Racing and Wagering Board does not tolerate disregard.
Mr. Carter, I'm sure we could probably give a copy of the press release to everybody.
Okay, well, I'm just saying what I'm going to discuss. I'm not reading the whole thing, just one sentence.
We have quite a bit of business to, all due respect, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I traveled across the country from the West Coast to be here for, I'll be less than 10 minutes.
Well, that'd be great.
Okay. And the sentence of most that the board does not tolerate disregard for the rules of racing and will continue to seek and punish those who cheat. And I agree with that. And then in the decision, the question was whether the penalty was too harsh. I don't know. I don't know the facts in the case. But it reminds me of my case where I appealed to the board and I am completely innocent and I have not been allowed to race in the state of New York for 36 years. No hearing, just out. The suspension reads a violation of rule 4106.2, which is misrepresentation. Misrepresentation of any material fact concerning a horse entered at a harness track shall be a violation and subject to all the penalties of this act. I appealed this decision promptly after it was made, and the board has declined to proceed with it. Basically, this rule just eliminated me from harness racing in the state, and I haven't been allowed to be here since. The next part of it, of the representation, there's been some question that, well, there's no need for a hearing, it's years ago. It's a moot point, but yet whenever I have to file an application anywhere, the question comes down, have you ever been suspended, and why? And here in the state of New York, this ruling is grounds for license denial. Article 3, number 309, section C, if an applicant has been found guilty of any fraud or misrepresentation in connection with breeding, no license. I've read the appeal rules. I followed my part, put my appeal in. Section B says the board will notify of time and place of the hearing. Never happened. But the board has sent out reports. Daniel Goldberg has sent out reports to racing regulators around the country in which he's falsified the prices that the horses paid.
Who has?
Daniel Goldberg, chief investigator, state of New York. There are a copy of this in my file.
I mean, I have to say, Mr. Carter, this is, you know, great and all, but I've only worked for the state for 28 years. And, I mean, is there a point really here? I mean, if you filed an appeal, would you like to come to our licensing committee? I mean...
No, I want this record. I want this removed, expunged from my record. But I'm almost done. I came here 2 years ago and presented a reissuance of my appeal. And I've talked to Mr. Feierstein several times on the phone. Now, he's refused to meet with me in person. But he's talked to me on the phone, and he's returned most of my phone calls, which was a big step forward from what the situation was in the 70s and 80s, where nobody would talk to me.
Long distance is cheap now.
Yeah, that might be. Now, yesterday, I was in the office, the licensing office of Pennsylvania, and they explained to me that I can't get a license unless I have a disposition of this case. And I have a letter from Mr. Feierstein that this case is over and there will be no disposition other than the original ruling that I'm guilty. And that's the end of my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Any other public comment? Okay, I'll ask Acting Secretary Kristen Buckley to call the agenda.
Call the agenda at 11:16. We also received email comments from Jackson Lee, and they will be attached to the minutes. I approve the minutes of the board meeting held on March 20, 2012, and April 2, 2012.
Members have copies of two board meeting minutes. Any additions or corrections?
So moved.
Hearing none, all those in favor of passing the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. Next item.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair, there was 86 this month. Okay. Items previously approved, denied, or deferred by the board, there were 3. And items to be approved, denied, or deferred by the board today, there are 15. And the first item is the emergency rulemaking thoroughbred racing training rule.
Mr. Feierstein.
Thank you, Chairman. This matter appears before the board today with a recommendation that the board consider and approve an emergency rulemaking which would constitute a revision of the existing section 403.8.2 of the board's thoroughbred rules. If amended, this would apply both at the New York Racing Association tracks and Finger Lakes Racetrack. Basically, it is proposed to change the rule cited, 4038.2, which provides a minimum price for a claim of $1,200, and transform this rule into a tool to reflect today's economic realities and the current situation where there are many horses that are entered for claiming prices that are substantially out of line with the value of the purse in races. This is something that's been recognized by the board's own review of facts related to the unfortunate deaths of various horses in claiming races this year at the New York Racing Association tracks. And this proposal, which I'll recite in a moment, is also consistent with a recommendation of the American Association of Equine Practitioners in a 2009 white paper entitled Putting the Horse First, Veterinary Recommendations for the Safety and Welfare of the Thoroughbred Horse. If the board approves an emergency amendment, this rule would provide that the minimum price for which a horse may be entered in a claiming race shall not be less than 50% of the value of the purse for the race, so that if the purse was $30,000 for the race. A horse could not be entered for less than $15,000 in that particular race. The proposal is intended to reduce the incidence of injuries and fatalities to horses in claiming races, as well as protect the safety of jockeys by reducing or removing an incentive to race an unsound horse in an environment where it may be claimed, by establishing a relationship between investment in a horse and potential purse to be earned. It is anticipated that this will have a salutary role in reducing equine deaths at the racetrack. It is recommended that the board, if it approves the merits of this and approves an emergency adoption, do this to be effective on May 9th of 2012. This would permit a reasonable period of time for the horses that are already entered, i.e. in the box, under established conditions to compete, and also permit a time for racetrack operators, if necessary, to change conditions for certain races in order to conform to what this rule would provide.
Thank you. It shouldn't be lost on anyone that with the advent of video lottery terminals at Aqueduct, that something went wrong at the winter meet on the inner track with the number of fatalities. In fact, a board analysis brought out a very interesting statistic. The claims filed, claims in the shake, went up 187% for a period of time during a winter meet at Aqueduct. That's not a statistical anomaly. That's huge. And in the rush to get in on the new purse structure, it's become apparent that trainers and owners want more horses, and they want to be in the race, and that's great, except that it became apparent that there were horses racing that shouldn't have been racing. The number of gate scratches now that we've seen these problems has gone up, because vets are paying closer attention. But it is the feeling of many that the enhanced purse structure really turned into, you know, a bad thing for the equine athletes and the folks on their backs, and that we were putting horses in a position where maybe they shouldn't have been. The AAEP, the American Association of Equine Practitioners, had some recommendations a number of years ago, but now that we see what happened with the enhanced purse structure at Aqueduct, it's time to change the rules a little bit so that we don't have a situation where unsound horses are being put in the race. We did a rule recently that violated a claim if a horse dies during a claiming race on the track. And this goes, again, toward the idea that horses entered in races should be in races that they're qualified to run in and sound to run in and in the proper company to run in. So that's what this attempts to do, to correct. There has been a purse price, a person claiming price adjustment in the condition book at NYRA, but that was an adjustment. This is a rule that will be long-standing. It's emergency rulemaking, so that after 90 days, if people don't like it, we'll hear from you. But the point here is we want to codify this so that it doesn't happen again. Because what we saw happening on the inner track at Aqueduct should not happen again if we have anything to do about it. There is a task force out there. They'll be reporting soon. But we wanted to take some action both on the earlier rule that we put out and this, to address this as quickly as possible. My colleagues on the board?
I'd like to start with a question for Bob, actually, if I could.
Sure.
I'm in favor of this rules of emergency. I guess my question would be, in the memo, the way we talk about it, are we not going to pursue a normal rulemaking process and go out for comment while we're doing the emergency? That seems kind of unclear from the memo.
I did not address that in the memo. As with the other emergency rule adopted dealing with the void claims, mm-hmm. The board has not yet proposed a standard rulemaking. It's one of the things that I expect to discuss with the board in the next week or so, in terms of evaluating how that rule is working, and to address the concept of what form, if any, a permanent rulemaking proposal should take.
And besides that, I just want to commend you, Chairman, for bringing this matter to the forefront. And that's my comments.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as you're certainly aware, I've been a longtime advocate of changing the claiming rules since I became a board member 2 years ago. And I understand that changing the rules of claiming will not come easy. This is another step forward. And that change is never easy at any time, especially in this industry. But this rule is, as I said, another step forward in the claiming rule change, and it will reduce the occurrences of injuries and fatalities to horses and provide protection, security, and safety, as you said, to the jockeys, not to mention the benefit to the consumer. So I'm hopeful that other states and racing coalitions will take notice and heed that New York is making positive changes to the racing industry and re-examine their procedures for claiming. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Mr. Firestein.
I have just one additional piece of information, just so it will be clear for the board and for the public and the industry. Because this rule, as I've recommended, would have a May 9th effective date, it will actually be in effect for less than 90 days, because the 90 days will begin to run from today, the adoption and the filing. So it will be slightly less than the actual 90 days.
Right, and to reiterate what you said, I thought it was only fair that we not affect races where owners had already put their horses into a race, so that we won't change the rules of the game right after the horse had entered a race. But obviously there'll be some adjustments in the condition book as a result of this. But no one who has a horse in a race now will be affected. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the emergency rulemaking thoroughbred claiming rule, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Yonkers Raceway 2012 track and field license
application. Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. Staff has reviewed the track and simulcast license application of Yonkers Raceway for 2012 and found it to now be substantially complete. As you know, one of the last items we were waiting for was an agreement with their representative horsemen's group. Yonkers Raceway has submitted a memorandum of understanding with their horsemen's group, memorializing the current negotiations. The provisions of the MOU are going to be incorporated, or have been incorporated, into a fully documented contract. Yonkers is applying for 238 racing programs for the 2012 season, pursuant to Section 307 of the racing law. Yonkers Raceway is required to conduct a minimum of 256 programs. However, as been stated previously, Section 307 does provide for the board to grant a license with fewer race dates if there are less horses available for competition than in that base year. And the Horsemen's Association concurs by evidence of a written agreement, which we now have. The horsemen have agreed to the 238 days that Yonkers has applied for. Yonkers has also met the minimum race date requirements of Section 318 of the law, as so noted in the memo. Yonkers, for reference, raced 240 days in 2011, 241 in 2010, and 241 in 2009. Yonkers has submitted the additional documentation regarding to the CAFO requirements, which has been reviewed. And have Also, I also have the SAS 70 report for their vendors, their tote vendor, which is being reviewed in a separate report will be issued by staff. The other issue, as I'm sure you're aware, is Yonkers has submitted a letter to the board, which they're requesting to discontinue use of the existing barn area. Staff has had several correspondence with Yonkers management and its representative Horseman on this issue, and Assistant Counsel Bill Sekelic has sent a letter, which is provided in the package before the board, to Yonkers Vice President Robert Galterio and the Horseman. A detail, a tentative agreement where the barn area remain open under certain conditions. Included in this item also is the board is required to approve every year Yonkers Raceway tote security plan. That item is included in this package. Staff has reviewed it and found it to be in substantial compliance. Lastly, it should be noted that Yonkers, as I'm sure you recall, was required to submit additional supplemental licensing information as required by a letter by you, Chairman, and also by Director Medenica of the Lottery in regards to the 2012 application. Staff has reviewed that information along with lottery staff and found it to be materially responsive to the request. Staff recommends approval of the license for 2012 for Yonkers.
So this would complete Yonkers' licensing application for the year. As you know, they've been running on a piecemeal basis, as we often do when applications are incomplete. I want to congratulate Mr. Sekelic for his work on getting some resolution on the barn closing issue, which was a knotty problem. Questions or comments from the board?
On the barns, Tom, are we expecting there will be discussions going on with the Horsemen and them now? I mean, I understand they realize now that they have to have approval before going forward with that. Is it something they still want to pursue in terms of working with the Horsemen in terms of a way to...
It's my understanding that there's ongoing discussion.
The technical status of the application is that the application is still pending. It's still filed. Yonkers has not withdrawn the request to the board to discontinue the use of the barn area. However, for the moment and subject to whatever conditions, reasonable conditions, Yonkers Raceway might place upon horsemen who choose to use the barns in relation to racing, the matter is now resolved. It doesn't mean it's over, but it's resolved for the current time.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Yonkers Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license application. All those in favor?
Aye.
Next item.
Monticello Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license application.
Mr. Castrogola.
Thank you, Chairman. Board staff is reviewing Yonkers Raceway's track and simulcast license application for 2012.
Yonkers?
Excuse me.
Monticello.
Yonkers on the mind.
Monticello's
application for 2012. Staff has found the application to be substantially complete. However, there is several issues outstanding that remain outstanding regarding to shareholders and ownership issues at Monticello Raceway. Staff has been in conversation with representatives of Monticello and is hopeful we'll be able to resolve the matter shortly. However, at this date, pending resolution of those matters, staff is recommending that the board assign race dates to Monticello for the dates requested and is outlined in this memo for May and June of this year.
Questions or comments on the Monticello Raceway license? Mr. Hogan.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, so we give them the race dates, but in the meantime, we're working to get the material from them, and we should have it in what kind of time period?
Actually, we're going to meet with them, I believe, later today, and we're hopefully have the matter resolved by the next time this matter comes before the board.
Well, would there be a possibility in this case, if the matter is resolved, to do the license as a walk-around instead of waiting 2 months to do it and give them a full license if we are, in fact, complete and that's the only thing? Well, or do we just wait 2 months because they have race days?
Well, they have the race.
They have the race days
anyway, so it would be...
We try not to do walk-arounds without public disclosure.
Well, that's why I'm talking about it here.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that it's not... We do walk-arounds, but on something the size of a racing license, I would be loath to do that. Yes, Mr. Firestein.
I certainly agree with your sentiment on that. I would point out, however, that if the pieces that are necessary fall into place in time for the May board meeting, then there's no reason the board couldn't entertain it, notwithstanding having assigned the May race dates.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
June race dates.
Right. Questions or comments further on the Monticello Raceway application? Hearing none, then I will move the adoption of racing dates for May and June for Monticello Raceway 2012 track and simulcast license. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Monticello Raceway request to withdraw $18,548 from set.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a request from Monticello to withdraw said amount from their SIF. This is an item that was previously included on another application to withdraw funds. We were waiting for further documentation, which we have subsequently received. Staff is recommending approval of said amount from their account. They currently have reported as of the end of February 2012 a balance of slightly over $52,000 in the capital improvement fund. So this was a budgeted item for 2012, and we're recommending approval.
Questions or comments from the board?
Have we scheduled SIF inspections
Mr. Diamond.
Yet?
No. We're in the process of doing it, but I don't believe it's been scheduled yet.
Okay. Very good.
And, just wanted to note that Charles Deglamini from Empire is here with us today, and he's gracing us with this.
And Nan Horner as well. Other questions or comments about the Monticello SIF withdrawal? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Monticello Raceway requests to withdraw $18,548 from the Capital Improvement Fund. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item.
Saratoga Harness.
Item is approved. Next item, sorry.
Saratoga Harness, renovate diamond gym bar.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a request from Saratoga Casino and Raceway for a permit to renovate the Diamond Gym Bar. It's located on the casino floor. Permit is required under Section 322 of the Racing Law. The renovations essentially will make the bar, which parimutuel wagering is conducted, seem to flow a little more easy with the casino gaming floor, and also open up a window so you can see the track and integrate the racing with the gaming aspect. OGS permit for construction is attached, and staff is recommending approval.
It's certainly been the board's sentiment that any time a racino allows people to enjoy the race in addition to the casino, that it's a good thing, and Saratoga Harness has done a good job in integrating, and this will move even further, move that ball further down the field. Questions or comments from the board?
I have the same comment you did.
Mr. Diamond.
I applaud their efforts to integrate the gaming and racing component and all the good.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Saratoga Harness renovation to Diamond Gym's Bar. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTD, New East Event, Last Lap, Rochester.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman.
It's the last lap.
This is the request from Western OTB to add an Easy Bet location to their operations. As you know, Western has been adding a number of Easy Bets over the last year to their operations. This particular one is located at 4768 Lake Avenue in Rochester, which is in Monroe County. Staff has done performed a limited suitability review of the applicant and its principal, Dennis Fico. No derogatory information has been found. There is a letter from Finger Lakes giving permission for Western OTB to open an Easy Bet on the site, as it is within the area close enough to Finger Lakes Raceway that has required approval of the regional track. Staff is recommending approval of this Easy Bet location with the standard conditions of approval for such operation.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we will then move the item. Western Regional OTB's new Easy Bet location, Last Laugh, Rochester, Monroe County. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Let me just say for the record that we congratulate Western for aggressively, as you'll see from the rest of the agenda, pursuing Easy Bets, because they don't have to pay rent. Not a lot of costs to the OTBs, and certainly it allows them to enter the 21st century of their business model with perhaps a healthier outlook. So that's a good thing.
Good
Next item.
The applications as well.
And good applications, that's correct. These are not ones that we've had to chew over a lot. Next item.
Western Regional OTB New Easy Maths News, Dunkirk.
Mr. Castrogola.
Thank you, Chairman. This is another request for an Easy Bet from Western OTB. This particular location is somewhat unique in that this is not the standard bar or bowling facility that we've seen for Easy Bet's location. This is actually a newsstand and convenience store. It is located 93 3rd Street in Dunkirk, New York, which is Chautauqua County. The newsstand has a seating area that reportedly has room for 15 to 20 tables if people sit down, have coffee, read the paper, and participate in lottery games. There used to be an OTB branch that was located around the corner from this location but closed this past January. Now, the closest OTB is reportedly 30 minutes away by car. Therefore, they feel that this would be a perfect location in which to pick up some potential lost clients and maybe some new clients or wagering. Staff performed a limited suitability review of the applicant and his principal. No derogatory information was found. Staff is recommending approval of this location with these, along with the standard conditions of approval as with the previous one. I should also note that Buffalo Raceway has signed off giving permission to Western OTB to open this location, as this site is within the regional area requiring Buffalo's authorization.
And the last applicant that we approved had permission from Finger Lakes, I believe, correct?
That's correct. Okay. Yes, sir.
This application is interesting because, as you said, it sort of breaks the model, but we've seen the growth of places where people buy and participate in quick draw for longer periods of time, so they sit and occupy space in an area and play quick draw. And this may encourage other such applications and help both the OTBs and the racing industry. Questions or comments from the board on this item? Hearing none, I will then move the item. Western Regional OTB, new Easy Bet location, Matt's News, Dunkirk, Chautauqua County. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB, new Easy Bet, TC Hooligan's Bar and Grill.
This is Greece, New York, not the country. Mr. Castrogola.
This is the third Easy Bet request from Western OTB at this board meeting. This particular location is 134 Greece Ridge Center Drive in Greece, New York, which, as stated, is in Monroe County. Staff performed a limited suitability review of the applicant and its principal, Mr. Ferrari. The review found substantially no derogatory information, however, did note that there is a payment agreement for outstanding obligation owed to the Department of Tax and Finance for back taxes. The agreement has been accepted by New York State Tax and is due to be paid off in 6 monthly installments. Staff is recommending approval of this location with the standard conditions, along with the added condition that the applicant remain in compliance with the payment agreement with New York State Tax.
And if I assume that will include, they would have to supply us notice if that agreement is breached.
Yes, we can make that as part of the, okay, the condition.
And
when it's satisfied.
And when it's satisfied, right. And they also have permission under rules from Finger Lakes Racetrack to open this.
Correct.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move Western Regional OTB Easy Bet location, TC Hooligan's Bar and Grill, Greece, Monroe County. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB New Easy Bet, Harry O. Shore Incorporated, doing business as Harry's Place, Waterloo.
Mr. Castrogola.
The fourth request from Western OTB for an easy bet location. This is located in Seneca County, 23 West Main Street in Waterloo, New York. Staff performed a limited suitability review of the applicant and its principal, Mr. Schwartz, and found no derogatory information or disqualifying information. Staff is recommending approval of this application along with the standard conditions, and also notes that this location is within the region requiring Finger Lakes permission to approve the site as well. That letter is also included with the package and is before the board.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we will then move the item. Western Regional OTB Easy Bet location, Harry O. Schwartz, Inc., doing business as Harry's Place, Waterloo, Seneca County. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB Easy Bet Balloons Restaurant and Nightclub, Ellicottville.
Mr. Casaragola.
This is the final request from Western OTB and the fifth for this meeting for an Easy Bet location. This one being in Cattaraugus County in Ellicott, New York, located
Ellicottville.
On 20 Monroe Street. Excuse me?
Ellicottville.
Ellicottville, I'm sorry. I stand correct. Staff has performed a limited suitability review of the applicant and its principal, Mr. Kearns. No derogatory information was noted, with the exception of there was a violation noted by state liquor in 2004, resulted in a $1,000 fine for serving alcohol to a minor. Other than that, there's been no other derogatory information, fines, or violations noted since that. This particular location is within the region requiring Buffalo Raceway's permission to provide authorization for the site, and Buffalo Raceway's authorization is included with this application. Staff is recommending approval of this application along with the standard conditions.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Western Regional OTB Easy Bet location, Balloons Restaurant and Nightclub, Ellicottville in Cattaraugus County. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Catskill Regional OTB requests to install self-activated betting terminal stands at South Place Island.
Before asking Mr. Casaragola for an explanation of this item, I will query that perhaps Mr. Groff has a stand in his past, and that's why he names his machines different from all others. Perhaps a long-lost cousin or something. Mr. Casaragola. Can't get through a meeting without at least one Don Groff line.
This is a request from Catskill OTB, which is, as the chairman noted, essentially a request for an easy bet location, as noted with other OTBs. This particular location is in Ulster County, New York, 99 Vineyard Avenue in Highland. Staff performed a limited suitability review of the applicant and its principal, Mr. Timpiero, Salvatore Timpiero. Found no derogatory information. Staff is recommending approval of this application along with the standard conditions and as listed with the previous ones.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move the item. Catskill Regional OTB requests to install a self-activated betting terminal or stand at Sal's Place, Highland, New York, Ulster County. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Now we move on to the adjudication part of our agenda, which I affectionately call the People's Court. Next item.
In the matter of Adelaide Sanchez.
Mr. Feierstein.
Thank you. This is the first of the five adjudicatory matters before the board today. This case originated with an order to show cause seeking...
Four.
I'm sorry.
Four.
Cannot count. This matter originated with an order to show cause served upon the licensee seeking the suspension or revocation of the Thoroughbred Racing Stable employee license. This order cites as the underlying basis that the licensee is in the United States without lawful authorization inasmuch as his non-immigrant visa had expired. There was a hearing held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. Mr. Parente has submitted the report, which the board has before it with the record. The hearing officer recommends findings that Mr. Sanchez does not have appropriate legal documents necessary to work in the United States and recommends that the stable employee license be revoked.
Questions or comments from the board?
Sir?
Bob.
Mr. Hogan.
Mr. Sanchez is no longer in the country? Or do we know?
I do not know. My recollection is that he was attempting to resolve his status with the with ICE, but I don't know that for sure.
So if he did in fact work that, if he did in fact work his status out so that he was in fact allowed to work in the United States, we would be willing to look at him again to give him a license, right?
He would be considered again for a license. This would remove this obstacle, the only, presuming no other derogatory information, the only issue would be whether or not there'd be consideration to the fact that he did work for a period of time in violation of the laws.
Okay. Thank you.
And again, this was, well, not again, but this was brought to the attention of immigration because the gentleman appeared at a police station to testify on behalf of or to support a friend, and that's how this all started. We didn't start this process ourselves. Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none. In the matter of Adelaido Sanchez, all those in favor of the hearing officer's ruling, signify by saying aye. Aye. Item's approved. Next item.
In the matter of Carmelo Quinones.
Very good. Mr. Feierstein.
This matter involves a post-summer suspension hearing for Thoroughbred Racing exercise rider Quinones. His license was suspended on October 5, 2011, based upon an arrest for a human drug-related matter and notification that he was terminated from the treatment program in which he was enrolled. I should note that participation in the treatment program was a requirement of reinstatement of Mr. Quinones' license in July of 2010. There was a hearing held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. The hearing officer's recommendation contained in his report is that a finding should be made that Mr. Quinones violated the terms of his conditions for reinstatement and recommends that the summer suspension be upheld, the license revoked, and that the licensee be permitted to obtain a license in the future only upon evidence of satisfactory completion of a New York State certified inpatient treatment program. I would note that before the board deliberates and determines the matter, that the recommendation of a inpatient treatment program here, while contained in the record, is based upon facts and circumstances that existed at a specific point in time. I would suggest to the board that it might be more appropriate to recommend compliance with treatment program recommendations just in the event that a program such as this has been completed, that it would avoid any confusion in implementing the desire and determination of the board.
It's not a problem for me.
No.
Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, let me also compliment Investigator Ellen All for her usual good work on these matters. Mm-hmm. We'll call the matter the agenda item. In the matter of Carmelo Quinones Jr., all those in favor of the hearing officer's report with the amendment that a prescribed form of treatment be completed, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved with a slight amendment. Next item.
In the matter of Pearl Spester Jr.
Mr. Feierstein.
Thank you. Uh, This matter originated with an order to show cause served upon licensee Charles Festa Jr., which sought to revoke Mr. Festa's license to participate in thoroughbred racing as an owner and to deny any pending application before the board because of criminal charges relating to controlled substances. This matter had a unfortunately long history of adjournments. Eventually there was a hearing held and the licensee and his attorney did not appear for the hearing. The hearing officer, as is indicated in the report before you, contacted the attorney but did not receive a response and sought to provide an opportunity for the licensee to respond to the testimony that was then taken. It's the recommendation of the hearing officer that the board find that Mr. Festa has defaulted in contesting the matter and that there be a revocation of any license or any right in sense of continuing rights and that the licensee not be permitted to obtain any new license without proof that the criminal charges have been dismissed.
Questions or comments from the board?
You got to say it.
Well, I'm not going to say it this case because I think in this case and maybe other reasons that he didn't appear. I suspect based on my reading of the case, so I won't say it. All those in favor of upholding the hearing officer's report in the matter of Charles Festa Jr.? Aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of the decision to scratch the Takes Two baby at Saratoga Raceway.
Mr. Firestein.
This matter involves an appeal by trainer Michael Spaccarelli from the scratch of It Takes Two baby, for which he was the trainer in the ninth race at Saratoga Raceway on October 11, 2011. This horse was scratched in reciprocity with a then ongoing suspension of Mr. Spaccarelli's license by the New Jersey Racing Commission. The appeal was determined on written submission by the designated hearing officer, Mr. Parente. Mr. Spaccarelli did not respond to the motion to dismiss submitted by the Office of Board Counsel. Mr. Parente has submitted the attached report, which the board has before it together with the record in the case, recommending that the board grant summary judgment and deny the appeal.
This is a reciprocity case. Mr. Spaccarelli's license had been suspended by the New Jersey Racing Commission. It is what it is. Questions or comments on the It Takes Two baby scratch?
This was a good catch by Rich Gregory, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yes, it was deemed.
Presiding judge.
I believe it was brought to the attention of the board's investigator or presiding judge by individuals at the track, yes.
Any other questions or comments on this case? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move to uphold the hearing officer's decision on the case of scratching It Takes Two baby Saratoga Raceway. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item is approved.
Items for board information discussion, there are five this month. And follow-up items previously approved, there are zero. And I will bring the meeting back.
Before we adjourn, could you please ask Mr. Carter if he's got submission he wants to put into the minutes that you provided to us so we can read it before the next meeting?
Sure, no problem.
Thanks.
And let me note that Belmont is open we urge people to get their comments in on drugs and racing, and everyone have a good derby day.
Well, during the meeting at 11:59.
Thank you.
Great.
You got an appointment. See you later.
Oh, sure. Duck and cover.